The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And so likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, and having poured oil and wine on them, he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' So, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So a passing car stops to help another change a flat tire. A child crying behind a rack of clothes, and a shopper alerts security who announces where a mother might find her daughter. A neighbor clears a sidewalk of snow for an elderly neighbor. A volunteer delivers Meals on Wheels as weekly routine. A young woman faints on a jogging trail, and fellow joggers move to her to shade, give water, and wait for the EMTs to arrive. A traveler takes time in a tight schedule to assist traveling foreigners to find the right airport gate. Good Samaritans. Good deeds happening every day. Good people simply doing good because it's who they are. Every day. And it's easy to get discouraged by the atrocities in the news. And it's easy to despair the incessant disasters of weather and war. And even small insults can sour mood and set the day wrong. And yet, every day, good happens. Every day, good Samaritans do good. Every day. That's important to remember in these times. Now, 70 disciples had just returned from healing and casting out demons and proclaiming God's kingdom and bringing its blessings, mighty deeds of holy work practiced by 70 followers. And they come back to Jesus. And then a person trained in the law stood up to test Jesus. He sours the mood. The miracles and mercies done by dozens was not enough to convince the lawyer, and he put Jesus to the test. The word used here in the original Greek is the same root word used by the devil in chapter 4 when Jesus was in the wilderness alone and hungry and tempted. Honest inquiry was not the point here. The legal person held a grudge. And right from the start, he asked the question wrong. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The question is all wrong. There is no doing anything to inherit, except possibly to breathe. Inheritance is one direction gift. You can't achieve inheritance any more than you can select your parents. Indeed, inheritance is what comes to you and not what you get and not what you do to get it. Inheritance is gift, something you have no control over. So the lawyer sets up the question all wrong just to test Jesus. So Jesus plays along with him. What is written in the law? Love God, love neighbor. And then again, the lawyer asks the wrong question. Who is my neighbor? The right question would be, how do I love? How do I love neighbor? The right question would be, how do you love the person who is difficult? How do I love when I don't feel like it? How do I love in a way that makes a difference, that changes something? Now, the order of the answers is important. Love God first. Unless one's heart is filled with the love of God, it is very difficult to love the unlovely neighbor. But remember, love is an inheritance, a gift, not an achievement or decision. We begin with, for God so loved the world. We begin with God's love for us in the world, including the unlovely. Because God loves, we then can love also. But the lawyer's not interested in that. He asks the wrong question. Yes, but who shall I love? Are there some who I don't have to love? Do I need to love the narcissist who cares for no one but himself? Do I need to love the brute locked away in North Oaks prison whom I will never meet? Do I need to love the election denier who, contrary to good reason and proven fact and moral sense, continues to disparage our president and badmouth America, disrupts normality? In a little hesitation helping someone in small town Minnesota where everyone knows everyone, but how about helping change a tire in North Minneapolis? Sure, want to help a lost child find her mother, but what about the risk of being accused of child predation? Snowbound anyway and nothing else to do, so might as well clear the neighbor's walk, but how about those busy days when you're in a hurry? Meals on Wheels when I have time, but the homebound need to eat every day. Who is my neighbor? And is being good when convenient enough? What about those who do crimes and cause mayhem? Are they my neighbor? I'll be good to my neighbor when I'm in town, but I like to get away from it all once in a while. So Jesus tells a parable. An innocent person is waylaid by robbers and left in a ditch half dead. A priest and then a Levite come upon the person, cross the road, and pass by on the other side. Understandable. You know, it could be a trap, a supposed victim lying in wait to attack. They got an appointment to keep, a meeting coming up, and they need to move on. You know, stopping to help, their clothes will get dirty, and it will take up time to tidy up later. Others coming along, they can help instead, do their part. You know. Well, the priests had a duty to protect society. In the time before modern medicine, epidemiology, and environmental protection agencies, priests were responsible for teaching sanitation, responsible for prescribing policy for handling disease outbreaks, and preserving the justice in society. They had to live as example. Levites were subordinates of priests and had similar duties. A bleeding body by the road was a health hazard. And even then, they knew better than to handle bodily fluids, though latex gloves and nose masks were not yet invented. They crossed the road to avoid the body because their station and role and job required it, and their duties as priests and Levites required that they remain clean from blood. And besides, who knows if bandits still lurk? Their own safety is at risk. Don't get involved. Someone else will help. There will always be good reasons not to act. And there will always be excuses. So with impish poke, Jesus has a Samaritan stopping by in the story. Remember, he is telling this to the lawyer who is seeking to justify himself. The lawyer is asking, what's the criteria for neighbor? Who is neighbor and who can we ignore? A Samaritan proves neighbor. Historically and politically, Samaritans were anathema. Samaritans were from the wrong side of town. Samaritans had consorted with the enemy. Samaritan mixed loyalties, included pagan gods among the one true. And so Jesus, Samaritans were the last person any respecting Hebrew would consider. And Jesus is rubbing it in. The lawyer wants to justify himself. He wants to be able to make the argument that he was a good person because of some criteria or measure he could achieve. The lawyer wanted a mark that he could show that he was good, a flag to show his patriotism, a cross around his neck to tell his friends he is Christian, bumper stickers to make a point. So Jesus leads him on to what is enough to prove oneself righteous? What does it take to be a really good person? A Samaritan stops. It is a dangerous place. There are bandits still around who might even attack him. So taking personal risk seems to be required, putting one's own safety on the line at times. And then he takes time to massage bruises with oil, disinfecting wounds with wine, all the while with bandits still circling. And the Samaritan then loads the victim into his own car, or rather his own donkey, and drives him to town to safety. He puts him up in a hotel, paying for as many nights as it takes for the man to recover. He asks the innkeeper to nurse the man in his absence, promising to reimburse whatever expense incurred. The Samaritan did everything necessary in order to restore the victim, that the victim be given back his health and his life. Now, this is love. Not affection or feeling, but actions that seek to benefit and build up another. That is love. That's how we love neighbor. And then there is this risk that it is all for nothing. The Samaritan had no guarantees that any of this would work. After all his care and time and expense and hope, it is quite possible that the recipient will not be grateful, that the recipient of heartful care might turn out to be just another bandit. The recipient of mercy may carry an ugly spirit that will still spite and hate. there are risks to helping. Risks that the one receiving may not appreciate or respond. But that is exactly what God does for us. Everyone gets the gift of life. Everyone is offered God's unfailing love and unearned forgiveness and unending mercy. Everyone is welcomed into God's good graces. But not everyone responds favorably. Not everyone is grateful or even notices. But we give because God gives. And we give from our heart because God gives to us first in abundance. God always points us to others and always reminds that God has mercy on us and made us right and now expects us to do likewise. Jesus gives the lawyer someone so unlike him, someone difficult to like, loaded with assumptions and objections and strangeness, costing him time, costing him an effort, costing him money, costing him bother, costing him pride. A Samaritan cares and spends his own sparse resources to restore a needy stranger. Well, there is one more part of the Good Samaritan story that is often missed. The story is a good moral, an exhortation to help. But there is another part that is often overlooked in this story. So what about God? Where is God in this story? Besides Jesus telling the story, where is God in all of this? Well, throughout the Old Testament and the New, God has preference for the vulnerable, watches out for the isolated and marginal. And with that as backdrop, in this story, God is in the ditch, beaten, robbed, and half dead. It is the peculiar way of God that to know God and to be close to God and to see God in glory is to look to those most in need. To best experience God and to be near the holy is to share time with the ones at the edges and the ones with the least. You want a sense of something holy? Take a moment for someone you don't yet know. The face of God is the stranded motorist, the crying child, the snowbound next door, the hungry elder, the fainting jogger, the lost traveler. The face of God is the one lying in the ditch. For as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. Please stand and let us sing.
Thank you.